That was me coming out of the cannon right there. Fire! Bust the wedge! Oh my goodness, do you believe they actually paid human beings to do that, Basonians? But I digress. Douglas, what are you doing?
Shocking you.
Okay, uh-oh.
The genuine consensus today from NFL reporters is it's actually going to happen.
Russell Wilson.
What is going to happen?
According to multiple sources, multiple tweets, multiple people that are said to be, as you would say, in the know, here's the latest. This one's from Bleacher Report, but don't worry, there's ones from Mike Sando. There are ones that from Tom Pelissero. There's a lot of people tweeting about it. The Russell Wilson camp has broached the conversation with the Seahawks of trade destinations, including the Dolphins, Jets, Saints, and Raiders. Some people in the NFL think a trade could happen.
You know what? I will believe it when I see it.
Now, this is from the Russell Wilson side. It doesn't say Seattle's called anybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Seattle controls whether or not this happens. But obviously, there's not enough smoke from the other things Russell Wilson has done. So the next step in the process, if you want out, would be for Russell Wilson's group to say, hey, just wanted to talk trade with you. Here's what we're thinking of.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you tell the media that you did that.
Listen, honestly, right now, I don't know. I'm not saying that Russell Wilson did not do that and his camp did not do that. I'm saying it's not going to happen. Right? There's no way they're going to trade Russell Wilson. Right? No way. I'll believe it when I see it.
When I look at his wife's career and the fact that the Chargers and Rams aren't interested with what they've got, and I see the New York Jets on that list and where they're positioned in the draft, oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what? I hope it happens. Get him out of the NFC West. Absolutely. Get Russell Wilson out of the NFC West. What do you say we metaphorically give John Schneider and the Seattle Seahawks a collective lobotomy? Because that's exactly what it would be if you traded Russell Wilson. Get him out of the NFC West, John.
Would you agree the Jets are a struggling franchise since Joe Namath retired?
Yes, I would say that. They have Sam Darnold, though.
Yeah, exactly. And would
Listen,
you agree?
Sam got a bad deal last year, man.
Would you agree Bill Belichick knows what he's doing, Brian Flores appears to know what he's doing, and Josh Allen is really good?
Man, yes.
There's a good chance the Jets could make this trade and still not be that much better.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I say that because that means the Seahawks would be getting some pretty low draft picks for the next couple of years.
That's all right. John Schneider hasn't been nails on that
That's
regard
true.
Either. So
I just mean
honestly,
why you would do it. Not that I'm
you,
afraid as a
hey,
Cardinals
listen,
supporter.
Get him out. I hope that happens.
Other conversations you need to know about. Newsmakers Week last week. J.J. Watt.
Well, listen, guys, I don't want to get into details, but as you know, I mean, if there's an opportunity that makes sense on both the football side and the business side, we'll certainly take a swing.
Well, Diana Russini has not reported where he's going, but the ESPN reporter is actually reporting the number. The best offer he's received is between $15 and $16 million
what?
A year.
So, in other words, somebody's going to pay him what he made last year.
Yeah.
$15 million? Who is that?
Diana Russini is not reporting who is.
Yeah, but let us speculate as to whom that might be.
Green Bay, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Buffalo.
Oh,
it's one of those four.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm speculating.
I'm going with the Buffalo Bills based on his tweet. Right? What was the tweet again? What was it? Mitochondria.
Yeah, yeah. And the research center that's in Buffalo.
Subterfuge, my friends.
Roger Goodell doubled down. He said this at the Super Bowl.
Virtual is going to be part of our life for the long term. I think we learned, and the coaches learned, the players learned, that it was actually a very positive way to install offenses and to work in the offseason. So I think we'll see more of that for sure.
We don't have the exact quote, but he was speaking to women in the NFL event and is quoted as talking further about virtual and how much it has changed the offseason and how it will stay that way.
What are they going to take away from that, honestly? What are they going to actually repeat from that point? Who's he talking about? Is it the scouting department? Is it the sales staff? Was he talking about the offices in the NFL?
We can install offenses this way.
Their players, there's no way. It's not going to be coaches in the coaching rooms.
Right now it's a mandatory, basically three-day minicamp. Here's my prediction. They will eliminate OTAs on-site, and they will have virtual OTAs, but they will then extend minicamp to a week. So there's a one-week minicamp, and that's it.
I have no idea what they're talking about or what he's talking about, but what in-person meetings can you eliminate?
Are you buying this, John Lynch?
If he's injury-free, is there any doubt in your mind that Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback when you line up in September?
No, not at all. I mean, I really believe that he, you know, just look at the numbers. I mean, he's 24-9, 25-9 when he's played. You know, though, being available is a big part of this thing. So, like I said, we probably, as a stated goal, we have to insulate ourselves better, and we got to have better options if he's not there. But, you know, I've watched people go through this in the career where they struggle. It happened to me early, and then I went 8 years without missing a practice. So I believe that things can happen. I believe they will for him. And, you know, I really believe that Jimmy is our guy.
I always look at somebody with a jaundiced eye, Basonians, when they follow up what they just said with, "I really believe that." All right, I'm just saying right now, you have to wonder, how much do you believe that? You really believe that? What you just said, you know you just said something that is dicey, shall we say. Something monumental is what you just said. Oh, I really believe that. Why don't you qualify it, John?
He said the eye test for two is the, or he didn't say this, that's the name of the podcast that he was on when he said that.
And I've done that myself.
That, yes.
For the record.
Injury free, I expect him to be the guy, but we've got to improve behind him. Does that mean drafting a first-round quarterback a la a Jalen Hurts situation that happened in Philadelphia?
I just hope there's no way in the world Deshaun Watson is a 49er.
You've heard this comment multiple times, but now it's about a Super Bowl champion.
You know, when I said goodbye, we said goodbye to this season, this team. Next year is a different team. When we come back, we're not Super Bowl champs. We're just the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's for everybody to find their role, whatever that might be, then embrace it. We did learn this year to embrace those roles and know that at any point in time they could change and be bigger or smaller. And team is still the main thing. And so, we had a long talk about that when we broke up as a team. And so congratulations, but this team's history. Next year is a whole new ball club, man. Ain't nothing. We ain't done.
That's what it is right there. That's BA.
Typical BA.
Hey, Basonians, it's a year-to-year proposition.
We ain't done.
That's it. The NFL is a year-to-year proposition, and you as a player, you are a year-to-year mercenary. That's what you are. Never lose sight of that.
You know what he used to say that I really respected as the Cardinals head coach? He endorsed the individual. He said, "You're not a team. You're an individual fighting for a spot all during OTAs, mini camp, and even training camp." But then he said, once we name our 53, now that part's over. Now you're a team. You're not a team until, and nobody had ever said something like that.
That's BA, man.
And that was pretty fair. Coming up next, the Suns are mad. So why didn't it lead to victory? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf's The One. The number one story of the day.
Started goofing around with the game.
There you go.
Goofing around with it.
There's your number one story.
Started goofing around with the game.
Good morning.
All we're trying to do is win a game in the NBA, the most athletic league on the face of the planet. That's all we're trying to do, Basin on Ends. Go out there and we're goofing around. Boy, that's pretty strong right there from Monty.
It is. Monty Williams was talking about the collapse of the second quarter, and he squared up the bench, saying you blew a 17-point lead, and it was never the same after guys like Monk got hot. So you have the issues of the game itself, but there also seemed to be an underlying current of anger as well, as you have the latest on Devin Booker not being an all-star. It becomes official. Anthony Davis ruled out of the all-star game. Devin Booker, kind of first alternate, gets in. And Chris Paul, after the game, was asked, hey, I realize you just played a game, but this is the first time we get to talk to you about Devin Booker getting in as an all-star. Chris Paul, like, there's no story here.
Just wanted to hear, get your thoughts on him getting that second consecutive one and being an all-star.
We knew he was already, so it was a matter of time.
Boy, that was blood right there. You know what? Yeah. Honestly, we already knew he was an all-star. There's just one problem with it for the most part. We all understand what Chris Paul is talking about, right? We all understand what he's talking about. To me, overall, though, listen, he was not voted in. Wasn't voted in by the players, wasn't voted in by the fans, wasn't voted in by the coaches. When you stop and think about it, it wasn't like this was...
It's a large swath of people.
Yeah, exactly right. So to me, is he close? There's no doubt about it. Do I think he's an all-star? Yes. Do we understand what CP3 is talking about? Yes. We all get it. But the fact of the matter is, you know what? Honestly, you can only control what you can control, D-Book. My advice to Devin Booker, and it's not that he's looking for my advice, ladies and gentlemen, but if I were in that locker room with him, I just, you know what, D? Just be the best player you can possibly be. Focus on that. Get maniacal when it comes to that. Be the best player you can possibly go. Go inside, not outside. Go internally, not externally. Do that. And if you do that, everything else is going to take care of itself.
Well, he exploded in the first quarter, so he was clearly fired up about it. And then after the game, when asked on being an all-star, because this was the first time the media got the chance to ask him about it.
I honestly don't have much to say about it, but, you know, I'm looking forward to the experience. It'll be fun.
The melancholy, you can hear it. Play another cut right here. The melancholy. It's this mood, this melancholy down in the mouth kind of approach to it that I really like, because you can tell he's affected by it.
Yeah.
But he's still remaining classy. He's not losing his mind over it.
I wish I could know the answer, and he would never give you the answer, but I wish I would know the answer of what would this press conference been like if you won? What would the presser have been like if you won? Because I truly believe what happened here is it is direct correlation between respect from officials and the word all-star. And I think he truly believes he's not getting it.
Congrats on the all-star nod. Hey, just wondering, if this one kind of seemed, I don't know if there's more eyes on it, just with the news and the range of the emotions that's the past 24 hours. Did this one kind of feel different with all the attention that was on the all-star situation?
Did what feel different?
Just did the game, did it just feel like everybody was a little more jumpy, perhaps?
The game versus Charlotte?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You know, just let it hang a little bit right there to feel that melancholy. And I have felt that way, there's no doubt about it, many, many times in the fourth quarter, looking out into the football field and then looking up at the scoreboard and seeing the fact we are down by 3 touchdowns, ladies and gentlemen. There are many, many times where I felt exactly like Devin Booker is feeling right here, for different reasons, granted, there's no doubt about that. But the melancholy that would just move inside you, it would just fuel the intensity that I felt. It would feed you when you needed it most. And professionally right now, and I'm talking only, my young Krunk brothers, about your competitive heart, your competitive heart. And this is what we're experiencing right now when we're listening to Devin Booker. This is what you're hearing is really his competitive heart, the melancholy that comes over you when you feel like you've been slighted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he feels like right now. And I can empathize with it in a different way, granted, but I can certainly empathize being in the same position many times.
I totally believe it transcended because of the game itself. The horrible calls by the officials, which normally an all-star doesn't deal with. I think it's the combination of both together really upset him. And then this was really during the presser. He then had an exchange where he talked about how he doesn't allow himself to get too high or too low.
Mm-hmm.
So a follow-up question was asked a couple questions later about how are you balancing your clear frustration or the game, the loss, with not trying to get up too high or too low. And he says a magic word that shows you he really is fired up about the All-Star game.
Try not to get too high and not get too low. Just what I spoke on. I come here and I give my all to my profession every day. And then when I leave here, you know, I'm focused on my family and my close ones around me. And they do a good job of keeping me, you know, very humble and down to earth. So that's why I made the statement about them and their progression in life too, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it is bigger, you know, than this basketball thing and the entertainment behind it and the politics behind it. So getting to an age of finally understanding that, you know, it has helped me center myself.
What was the word that you were talking about?
And getting to know the politics behind it.
I see, the politics.
And understanding how it works.
Yeah. Who do you think he was talking about?
Other than when you're talking about your favorite political news station, whatever that might be. When is it a good thing when somebody says politics? I mean, that always means somebody's getting jobbed. That's what that means. You know, if you're saying, hey, I'm interested in politics, okay, that means it's something about Democrats or Republicans. It's something about the government. If you say, you know, political science, political history,
yes,
you're interested in who ran for what office, the Douglas Lincoln debates, okay, the famous Nixon, Kennedy, whatever it is.
People will say it's the spirit of compromise.
But whenever you say the politics behind it, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yet there is no compromise.
That's an angry young man right there. So what's going to happen to the Bulls? What's going to happen to the T-Wolves?
Yeah, you know what? They were chirping at him last night, too. And I'm wondering if the Hornets are picking up on this. And I'm wondering if other teams will pick up on this over the next half of the season as well, Basin audience. You know what? If you want to get inside Devin Booker's head, start talking to him. Start chirping at him. Because that's what the Hornets did. And I thought it impacted Devin Booker to some degree.
Do you? Because to me, I didn't think the Charlotte chirping did it. I thought the referee's technical for him getting back at him.
I just know as a professional athlete, a former professional athlete, the one thing you don't do is enrage somebody that is capable of... I almost said something I didn't want to say. No, I was going to say decapitating you. I think that's the wrong metaphor that I wanted to use.
You want people to keep their
head. But that's exactly what I feel. You don't want to anger somebody that is capable of going out and just destroying you unless you think it impacts him in a negative way. And that happened last night in the fourth quarter with the Hornets. Interesting. Might have to follow this the next game and the game after that as well.
This is the year of some massive three-year quarterbacks potentially getting big deals. Will it be Kyler next year? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Brutality.
How high do you think Steve Keim should go? Here's Steve Keim on Newsmakers Week. Expectations for Kyler Murray in year three.
Well, I mean, I think it's just like you did from year one to year two, Wolf, the little things, whether it's just the understanding of coverage concepts and reading defenses. It's something that he's just going to get better with time. And the command of the offense, again, when you have a guy that was Rookie of the Year 2 years ago and then was one of three NFC Pro Bowlers, you'd like to think that the guy is headed in the right direction. And obviously, really happy that we made that decision a few years ago when we did, as tough as it was. But, you know, again, he's a guy that's committed. He's passionate. I love his intensity. He and I have had talks about how to channel that intensity. And I think that obviously the best is yet to come here moving forward with Kyler.
I bring this up. There's a really interesting article. Dan Graziano wrote it. He's a writer with ESPN, and he talks about the five biggest takeaways that he has, but he's actually talked to agents, GMs, coaches about the Carson Wentz, Jared Goff trade. And I don't mean they were traded for each other. I mean the fact that they were traded at all as highly early first-round draft picks, given major contract extensions, and then the amount of money the team has eaten. And if you look at it through the prism of Kyler Murray, it's really interesting because as you sit here right now, don't you assume Kyler's going to improve in year three?
Yes.
And if he does, the trend is always then to give him the contract extension now, set the market so you don't have the market set for you.
Yes.
Yet that's exactly what the Eagles did. And we're talking a quarterback that mostly, obviously he didn't play in the postseason, but mostly led his team to a Super Bowl. So the early years of Carson Wentz were better than the early years. And now how bad does that contract look for Carson Wentz?
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that, though? I don't know if you could look at Carson Wentz and say that he had the kind of success that Kyler Murray has had in the first 2 years of his career. Now, I'm not saying, again, as a team collectively, I'm talking about individually. When you look at the individual things that Kyler Murray has been able to do with the Arizona Cardinals in his first 2 years, they are significant. No doubt about that. Based on the cut you just played right there from Steve Keim, to me, command of the offense. I heard that right there, command of the offense. And then Steve followed that up by saying you'd like to think with him actually being the offensive rookie of the year in his rookie year, and then, of course, in his second year, a Pro Bowler, that he's headed in the right direction in terms of command of the offense. And that's exactly 100% true. Having said that, though, he can get better, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. He can get so much better in having the command of the offense completely going forward. Now, I don't know if this is going to happen. I really don't. But when you talk about having the command of the offense, you have to also consider Cliff Kingsbury and the scheme that he might use. Will he put him under center more, and will we see some more traditional plays being run? The tackle zone over and over and over with the bootlegs coming off it, with the seven-step drop in the pocket coming off that as well. That play action game that is so lethal, and so many teams are doing it over and over and over. You look at the Green Bay Packers, it is unbelievable how big that is in their offense. Look at the Buffalo Bills, the same thing, how big that is in their offense. 11 personnel, here comes the tackle zone. Is it going to be a run or is it going to be play action? The same thing can be said with the Green Bay Packers. The Tennessee Titans do it probably better than anybody else. They run a lot more than the tackle zone as well. A lot more stuff, a lot more power schemes with Derrick Henry. But play action is so huge. It's taking over the National Football League. If you're not running RPOs, what's taking over the National Football League is making plays look exactly the same, but it's tricking the defense, whether you're going to actually run it or you're not. They're getting myopic in their level of detail on that play and that offense. The Rams built their offense with Jared Goff. They built their offense on the tackle zone. Everything that came off of their offense was predicated on that play for the most part. Now, third and obvious pass situations, that's something completely different. I'm talking about during rundown situation, first and 10, second and 1-6. It was their offense. How's that going to change with Matthew Stafford? I don't know. We're going to see.
I wonder if Carson Wentz is very similar – to a former, let's say a former Arizona Cardinals quarterback. Can you think of any Arizona Cardinals quarterback that was arguably the greatest quarterback in college football history, won a Heisman Trophy, and then kind of fell on his face?
Let's see. No.
Okay. I can. And let's call him, let's make up a name here. We'll call him Matty Ice. Okay. I bet he likes
wait
that.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about Matt Leiner?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
So bringing that up, I wonder if Carson Wentz was fantastic until he believed they didn't believe in him
His
anymore.
Rookie year was so good.
I think what happened to Matt Leiner, truthfully, is Matt Leiner needed to know you believe in him and then he's great. And if you make him feel like you don't believe in him, that plays with his head. And I think that's what happened. I don't know that. I think that's what happened between him and Ken Whisenhunt.
I think you're right.
Well, with Carson Wentz, the numbers back it up that he was really good until you trade for until you draft Jalen Hurts. And I'm looking at it. You mentioned, you know, that you thought Kyler was better than Carson Wentz. You're 100% right year one. Just going by rating, which obviously doesn't even include your rushing, which is a benefit to Kyler, 79.3 to 87.4.
Sure.
That's Kyler in the lead. But then listen to the jump. Carson Wentz in year two went from 79.3 to 101.9.
Yes.
That's massive. While Kyler only went from 87.4 to 94.3. So you don't see the jump. And then Carson goes 102, even better in year three, 93 in year four. And then last year, when he gets sacked 50 times and has a passer rating of 72.8, mm-hmm. lower than his rookie year. So there's no sign this is about to happen. So I know why they gave him that contract. Yet you look back on it, obviously a mistake. And you look at Kyler Murray and you say, okay, how do you not repeat these mistakes?
Do you think year three is going to be a pivotal season for Kyler Murray? I don't think there's any doubt.
I do for his entire family and livelihood, because if you're Steve Keim and he doesn't perform, you're still, and I say, I mean at an elite level, you're still going to pick up his fifth year option. But I don't think you're talking contract extension.
You're probably right.
And that's what's on his shoulders now, because the Patrick Mahomes of the world, and no, I'm not comparing, but I'm just comparing situation. The Mahomes of the world, the Josh Allens of the world, they're going to get big contracts after year three like Mahomes already got.
Yes, interesting. More on this as the week unfolds.
Oh, that's interesting.
Notice how I said that?
Coming up next.
What is tomorrow? Oh.
There is Aaron Maloney's opinion, which has been declared. My opinion, which has been declared. Wolf's opinion that has been declared multiple times.
Oh, no.
But two guys are staring down Ron Wolfley in a national story.
Oh, no.
And it includes Phoenix. Oh, no. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I think we ain't done yet.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
I think we ain't done yet.
I do have one last thing that I want to talk about.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Unfinished Business on the Doug and Wolf Show.
I love Unfinished Business, basically.
Hey, where's Paul? Unfinished Business with Wolf and I live in the Auction Community Studios. Mention Maloney in the HLO control room of the Auction Community Studios, where we go through every story that we can find that we were hoping to get to today but just couldn't. And therefore, we give it to you right now. And it has been documented the way the three of us feel. Mitch, I don't know where you go on this. And the feelings are from Aaron Maloney, there probably is actual things from outer space that can fly things to Earth.
I see.
My belief, what? You're shaking your head at me.
I'm not saying they're little green men.
Okay.
There's something else out there, is what I said.
Oh, there's something out there.
Now, for me, I do believe there's life away from Earth.
The truth is out there.
But I don't think it is life like you're actually having intelligent beings or even animals. I look at like some bacteria, some plants, something like that. I'm not into that there's somebody spying on us from another world. Wolf says there's just no life.
There is life out there, Basinonians. It's called the spirit world. I'm just saying.
Well, The spirit world struck New Mexico once again, and Phoenix is involved.
American Airlines Flight 2292 was flying from Cincinnati to Phoenix. Over northern New Mexico, the pilots radioing in.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us.
The audio from live ATC, but nothing was on radar. The pilots describing what they saw.
I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing.
What it was, nobody knows. The FBI is investigating. Alex Stone, EBC News.
And that's why it's called a UFO, Basin O'Neill.
Now, here's the difficulty.
It's unidentified flying objects.
When it doesn't show up on radar, hello.
Well,
hello.
But again, do you think the military might be working on something
like that, ladies and gentlemen?
Do you think there
but
are
wouldn't
other
you tell
entities?
The air, wouldn't you tell the pilots, hey, we're kind of firing some things around here?
Are there other entities that are out there?
Please don't tell me our own military fires things to make sure. Hey, I wonder if this can stay off of radar. Let's fire it over one of our own planes. Oh, by the way, I've been on that flight multiple times, Cincinnati to Phoenix.
Or domestic.
Can we not do that at that moment?
The guy even said it looked like a missile. Did he not say that right there? Did he not say it looked like some type of cruise?
Yeah. But a long cylindrical object.
Do you ever
think Paul Goldschmidt and Mr. Met have any, you know who Mr. Met is, right?
Oh, yeah.
The big-headed mascot. Do you ever think Paul Goldschmidt and Mr. Met has anything in common?
Let's see. Goldie and Mr. Met. No.
Taiwan Walker has signed with the Mets. He's jersey number 99.
I was 44 growing up, and I finally got it with the Mariners in 2016. And then I ended up getting traded at the end of the year. And when I got traded to the Diamondbacks, Paul Goldschmidt was wearing 44. So I was okay. Well, I'm never gonna get that again. So I was okay. What number can I wear that not a lot of people in the league have it? And I was like, okay, well, 99 is available. And I think the only way I don't wear 99 if I get traded to the Yankees.
Aaron Judge.
So I was okay. 99 is a safe bet, and went with that. And then, of course, last year I got traded to Toronto, and Ryu wears 99. So I was like, okay, well. That didn't work out, so I went with 00, just something different again. And, of course, you know, this year, Mr. Met's 00, so I just went back to 99.
Oh, okay, there we go. That is so convoluted.
You can't even
right
keep a jersey number because of Paul Goldschmidt and Mr. Met.
Okay, Basinonians, gather on the transistor and press the ear. There was this Alaska woman attacked by a bear while using the outhouse. Did you see this, ladies and gentlemen? So there's this girl named Shannon. It's always been about a girl, is it not, Kurt Cobain? And she is in Alaska with her boyfriend, Eric. And she has to use the facilities, my friends, which happens to be an outhouse in Alaska. What could go wrong, my friends? What could go wrong? Shannon said, I go out there and sit down on the toilet, and immediately something bit my butt right as I sat down. I jumped up and I screamed when it happened. Suddenly, Eric had brought his headlamp with him, ladies and gentlemen, to see what it was. He said, man, I opened the toilet seat. It was just a bear's face right there at the level of the toilet seat, just looking right back up through the hole right at me. I just shut the lid as fast as I could. I said, man, there's a bear down there. We got to get out of there now. We got to get out of here. We ran back to the yurt as fast as we could. Ladies and gentlemen, right now you're asking yourself, what is a yurt?
Actually,
Y-U-R-T.
Do you know what it is? I do, but I'm more wondering about how is she doing.
What is a yurt, Basinonians?
Bit by a bear.
It's a traditional, it's a portable round tent covered with skins or felt that were used as a dwelling by several distinct nomadic groups in the steppes of Central Asia, says Wikipedia. One question. What was that going to do to the bear?
Shutting the lid.
Let's get to the yurt. Man, those skins going to go out there. They're going to protect us from that bear.
In the category of why, what did you think was going to happen? There's a park in Vancouver, and the city around it is very upset because for the third time, they have to spend $1,500 replacing the sign.
Okay.
The sign has been stolen for the third time, and they're sick of it. And they're threatening massive charges if it happens a fourth time. Do you want to know the name of the park?
No.
Dude Chilling Park.
dude chilling park.
Are you? Come on. How many college kids are going to want a sign that says dude chilling park? Maybe name the park something else if you want to keep the sign.
How about this headline? Right? Are you done, Duckley?
I got plenty, but go ahead.
Unfinished business. How about this headline right here, Basonies? Florida man proposes using rings stolen from other lover. Detective said the victim saw her boyfriend's new fiance wearing a wedding band, an engagement ring identical to her own from a prior marriage.
Oh.
A Florida man stole an engagement ring and wedding bands from a girlfriend and used them to propose to another girlfriend, according to authorities.
That's love.
That's all you need to know, basically. Who are these people? Some sick little fetish where you know what you did and you get a thrill out of having a secret that nobody else knows. Let me just finish. These are the same dudes that like to go to the bathroom and not wash their hands and then walk around and shake everybody's hand. Sick dudes with your little secret.
How do you know that? That's not the same guy.
You know there's people who do that.
I know, but I don't know that they then steal rings.
Are you kidding me? I got a little secret. I stole this ring and now I'm proposing to you.
So
you don't know, but I do.
What do you do when you see a wild sheep that appears to be blind and struggling to walk?
Help him.
You name it Barack.
Barack had not been shorn in years, opposed to being customarily shorn annually. Although his hooves were in great condition from running over rocks, Barack himself was underweight and could barely see from all of the wool around his face. His rescuers proceeded to shear him, removing over 75 pounds of wool, which is nearly half the weight of an adult kangaroo. And now that Barack's had all of that weight lifted off of him, he is now settling in at Edgar's Mission and making friends with other rescued sheep.
A sheep had 75 pounds of wool.
Even Barack didn't put it up in a bun on his head.
Oh, you guys have been talking about this bun on the head the whole break.
75 pounds?
On one sheep.
What?
Yeah.
We're talking fur, right? We're not, they didn't cut off his muscle.
No, just the wool.
Oh, my goodness. That must be one big sheep.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo! Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about the you.
Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is how cool is it when ASU beats the Spurs?
Initiating. Getting it into Horford. Horford catches, kicks, Dort for the win. It's good!
Lou Dort, baby.
All right, baby. J.C. Horn at number 16. I like it, Mel. Peace and strength.
Went into the outhouse, sat down on the toilet, and immediately something bit me.